Okay, so let's get started. I have been constantly asked, always. I have a lot of different classes, and the classes that I have are, some of the classes are like, oh my gosh, could you teach us closing, and could you teach us how to overcome objections? And these are literally my favorite pieces and components to our industry, which is sales. Anybody doing sales needs to know these particular trainings and coaching. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to try to do a condensed class of a little bit of every one of the nuggets, bringing them together to give you enough information. Hopefully, if you're taking notes, you can write as fast as I can talk, or you've got the ability to come back to biztipsradio.com and listen to the show again and hear it as many times as you need it. And know that there are additional components and trainings that go on in what I do that will clarify even deeper these particular subjects that I'm going to talk about. So I have one that's real extensive, but let's talk about the first thing is whether you're meeting somebody, being introduced to them, or you're making cold calls, whatever, the bottom line, first of all, you've got to learn the art of asking questions, because one of the rules is when in trouble, ask a question. So if you are against the wall, don't know what to say, you need to know how to ask a question. And I love to teach the people that I coach how to ask questions, lead one question into another question into another question. So this thing on asking questions, here's kind of the assignment. Learn how to transition from one question to the next and try to come up with 15 to 20 questions in a row that you would consider talking to somebody and making it very natural as you begin to ask. So, you know, like, gosh, what do you do for a living? How long have you been doing that? What do you like most about that? What do you like least about that? And are you married? And how many kids do you have? And, oh, my gosh, tell me a little bit about you. Boys, girls, get them talking. And the rule has always been form, right? It's family, occupation, recreation, and it's their motivation or money. So what are they motivated by, and or where does money come in? So those are the form is the acronym that you use. Again, family, occupation, recreation, and their what motivates them, and what would they do if they had money, and where would money get them? So these are what you have to discover. This is your J-O-B part, where you have to get enough information to go into the next part of what is crucially important. For either I like to close my sale before the sale, and I'm going to teach you how to do that, and that all comes with learning how to use the art of asking. I call it the QDC moments, and learning how to clarify and learning how to translate properly. And so let's talk about the orders of how this works. This one is a little confusing, this particular piece. But if you've asked enough questions, you then have what you need to close the sale prior to the sale or close the appointment prior to the presentation. This is what's beautiful. I love permission marketing. You know, you don't want to just say to somebody, and they go, so what do? And you just go, oh, bleh, and you throw up on them. You don't want to do that. So let's learn how to do this particular art in like a learning the dance steps of a move that just makes you look smooth on the dance floor. So here's how this kind of starts. So bear with me that it's not going to make so much sense as I start. One of these classes that I teach is called the Little People Toolbox. And the reason is if you know which tools you have in your toolbox, the first tool is called a QDC tool. The second tool is called a clarification tool. And the third tool is called a translate tool. If you know and you have those three tools, here's the order of how you use them. You need to use the number two tool first, then the number three tool, which is translating, and then the number one tool, which is to do the QDC. So I'm going to teach you all of that as we go. So here's how it kind of works. Let's start with what you need first is the clarification. You have to know the right phrasing of things to say when discussing or talking to somebody. You know, people don't mean what they say or say what they mean, and things come out wrong, so it's really good to learn proper clarification. I'm going to teach you four powerful words. So write down four words, and this is what they equal. Ready? How do you mean? With a question mark. So you could say it, how do you mean? How do they mean? How do you mean? I'll be your voice inflection. How do you mean? Okay, that's the four words you need right there on the clarification. How do you mean? So in your clarification tool, you're either going to use this four-word phrase, or you ready? Here comes the six-word phrase. What do you mean by that? Or what do you mean by that? It's all about the way you're going to say it. There's your six-word phrase. What do you mean by that? Here comes your seven-word phrase. These are the only three phrases you can use in the tool of number two. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's three pieces to this tool. All right, so the seven-word phrase, why would you ask me that now? Why would you ask me that now? Why would you ask me that now? So you can say that in any voice inflection way you need to put that across. Why would you ask me that now? You can have a lot of fun with that phrasing. So the first tool in your toolbox that you've learned is the tool number two, right? It's the first tool that you are going to use, though. It's called clarification. Okay, the third tool I want to teach you is called translate, to absolutely make sure you clearly hear what your prospect is telling you. You need to know how to cleverly use the translation tool. So when a person has done all that speaking with you and you're not really clear, you could use your four-word phrase, how do you mean? Or what do you mean by that? And then they tell you, and now comes number three, the translate tool. You pull it out of your toolbox. It's the second tool you use, and this is how it works. Now you use 12 words. If I heard you correctly, basically, is what you're saying. You're saying to people, let's see, because I told you they don't mean what they say or say what they mean, right? So I heard what you said. Write that first part down. These are the 12 words. I heard what you said, comma, but I think what you meant was, dot, 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 and now you use the typical feel, felt, and found. Feel, felt, found meaning that you're trying to learn how they feel and what they felt like, and you're validating what you have found. So a feel, felt, found is so crucial. It's been taught for many years. People will tell you, I've heard feel, felt, found. But let me tell it to you, please, with passion. I know how you feel. I felt the same way. Here's what I found when I got started with the program or when I used the product. So you are using the empathy part of understanding and hearing your prospect when you're feeling what they're saying. You're validating how they felt that you can relate to that, and then you're helping overcome an objection by what you have found. Now, translation is really, so here's the neat thing. Somebody shares something with me, and I say, well, what did you mean by that? And they tell me, and then I say, I heard what you said, but I think what you meant was, and now it's time for me to translate what I believe I heard. So if I've heard it correct, I know you got into one of those things before and you didn't have the support from your upline, so it put a bad taste in your mouth. Yet if things were a little different, if you had a different experience, you'd be more open to one of these kinds of things. All right, so now I heard what you said. But I think what you meant was, and now you clarify, you repeat the clarification of what you heard your prospect say. And then I said, do I have that right? And they're like, yeah. Now get ready. Once you have thoroughly heard and understood your prospect and to overcome their objection, then you use your number one tool in the box, which is called the QDC. It's identified as, to qualify, you must qualify your prospect first before you demonstrate. And prior to demonstrating, I want to make sure I have a close. That's the C. QDC, qualify, demonstrate, and close. So I'm going to get permission marketing when I do this too, by the way. This is crucial. And this is where the phrase comes in, if, blah, 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 would you. And then, so the way you'd write it is if, put an underscore, like there's something that goes after that, or go dot, dot, dot. Then put, would you, dot, 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 question mark. So the phrase kind of works like this. If blah, 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 would you, blah, 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 blah. That's how you're saying this. Okay, so now let me put it in phrase. If I've heard the person correctly, I said, so if I could show you a program that would actually give you a different experience and show you a team you could work with that would turn around all those feelings that you had and show you that we're nothing like that other thing, would you be willing to give me 20 minutes of your time to learn more about this and meet some of the core people that I work with? Don't talk. Be quiet. You've asked your question. Stay quiet and let them answer. Now, when you ask a question, do not say anything to relieve the pressure, because then if they're thinking, it's the silence of your close is the only time you can pressure your customer. You can only use the pressure of the silence of your question. The rule used to say, high pressure, high sales, low pressure, low sales, no pressure, no sales. Not true. If you deliver the message that it's okay if you do and it's okay if you don't, they're going to love the fact that you care about them more than you care about the dollar signs, and they're going to begin to follow you in what you're doing. So this part becomes the close. So now, would you be willing to listen to or come to a presentation or do a three-way call or let me have some time with you? Whatever it is, this is your close. And one of my favorite phrases that go in here also, is there any reason why? So if I were to share you, is there any reason why we couldn't get together for 15 or 20 minutes? And they're normally going to respond with no. And my no, because of that question, is always a yes. Is there any reason why we couldn't get together? No. Is there any reason why you couldn't give me 15 minutes of time? No. Is there any reason why you couldn't listen to the opportunity and see? Is there any reason why you couldn't try the product and tell me what you experienced? It's always your no is a yes. That is the most powerful question or comment I can give you to making your phrasing, okay? When they say no, you just got permission to demonstrate your product. What's exciting about that is you go, yes, you just literally made a close about getting yes to demonstrate. So to me, that's all part of the close. So is there any reason why I couldn't share this with you today? We can get together. Then they say no, and you go, great. So I just did my close in my QDC moment. Another way to do that close is so simple as, and if what I share with you makes a lot of sense and I could address all of your questions, is there anything stopping you from making a decision whether this is for you or not for you at the time of our presentation? Oh, no. Great. So every no is followed by a G-R-E-A-T with an exclamation point. Anytime you get a no, is there any reason why? No. Great. Make sure you say that, because most people think, nope, not interested. Nope. They always see that as a negative. So turn that no into something so great. They go, what did I just say? So they get excited that no now feels good. It doesn't hurt so bad. And they're on a journey that you're going to take them on. And remember, the rule is think long, think wrong. So a lot of times people lose opportunity, doesn't go away, it only goes to someone else. So they lose something and it gets changed over as they let too much time go by and they've thought too long and they don't make those decisions. So tell them you're looking for sharp, effective people who can make sharp, effective decisions once they've had all the facts. And all I'm trying to do is give you the facts. Now, the power of choices. This is the next phase of this particular training today. Because listen, if I said to you, hey, what do you want for breakfast? And you say, well, Eggs Benedict sound good. And I say, well, I don't have that. What else do you want? Well, how about I don't have that. Waffles, I don't have. What else do you want? And they go, well, you got any hot syrup? So now we're going to take forever to get to breakfast. And this is a great side note for parents, grandparents, listen carefully. You take control of the choices, so you take control of your sales as well. It all washes over into your own personal life as well. This is so much fun with your kids. Practice it. Practice it with your husbands. Practice it with your wives. Practice it with your coworkers. Practice it with your children. Practice. Practice makes perfect. Okay? The application of knowledge is what is powerful. So knowledge is powerful, but the application of knowledge is what's powerful, right? There's knowledge is power, but the application is powerful. So you're going to learn the powerful piece right now. So, hey, listen, what would you like for breakfast? And you're simply going to start off with making some choices. So, look, we can do hot cereal, I have eggs, or I have cold cereal. Which would you prefer? Now, depending on how I address that, I can go into more detail. But if I say to you, hey, would you like to go out for dinner? We could have lobster and steak and, and biscuits. And you say, no. Well, what are you saying no to? The lobster, the steak, or the biscuits? So you have to identify. There's where your identifying, clarification, and translating all comes in. And then your QDC moment that you work, right? But the power of choices come in when you're asking specific questions and giving choices. Hey, would you like to go to dinner? We can go for steak or lobster. Which would you prefer? Or chicken. You can throw it into the third thing. And normally, by the way you ask, this is the fun part, you control almost the answer, especially with your children. Because as you raise your voice in the pitch of level of excitement, so let's talk about it. What would you like to have for dinner for vegetables? You can choose the vegetables. Would you like to have corn or peas? If I raise the pitch of my voice on corn, it's my preference. I love it. So I'm going to go corn or peas. Or I can go corn, peas, or broccoli. So by giving choices, that's what I have in the cupboard. My first choice is what I want you to choose is the best. So it's a little bit more excited than the next choice. The next choice, I lower my voice just a little, but the third choice, I just kind of throw it in. So let me use a side note here, because I like for practical application of what you're doing in your sales world to work in your life too. Parents, when you tell your kids, don't hang around with so-and-so. What you do is you are in control of pushing them to hang around with so-and-so, because that's not a good influence for them. So you're pushing them towards that person because they're going to be resistant. But here's what's amazing. If you know there's two friends that are better for them, so let's say your kid's birthday's coming up or you're going to even go to the park, you say to them, hey, would you like to bring Stefan or Bob, or would you like to bring so-and-so? And that's your third one that you offer, and you lower your voice. One, they're within your guidelines and within your presence, so so-and-so has a better influence when you're there together. But the next thing is, you're choosing it more excited the first couple of people. And by the pitch of your voice, your kids will always go, yeah, I'm going to have Stefan. We're going to go to a swim party. Would you like to take Stefan? Would you like to take Ron? Or would you like to, they're going to come and go, or your so-and-so. And then you go, okay, you know what, I'm going to go ask Stefan. They'll do that because that's the first thing you asked. So watch how you work your voice inflections in the sales of what you're doing. Watch how your tone, because they say it's not what you say, it's how you say it, how you deliver it, that makes the difference, right? This happens in sales, too. You always sell the Bentley first and come on down to the Cadillac and then bring them down to the V-dub, and if necessary, you help them even if they have to start in a bicycle, right? So that is how you sell. You sell with the top idea first. Your top, you are the professional, top of the line. You're like the doctor. You're selling the best procedure, best advice first, because that's your expertise. Then you tell them the next one, and then you tell them the third. So you've given them one, two, and three. Most people, if they can't afford one, they always go to the middle. So that's why you have to start at a fairly, you know, and when you take choices away, you can say, would you like to start with A, because here are the benefits, and then there's B, that here are the benefits. And they're looking at both of those, and they say, well, you know, A is really out of reach for us. Okay, so let's look at B. And then we have C. And so you've given two more choices. See, people want the ability to choose. They want to be directed, but they want the ability and the power of making a choice. So you've got to give choices. You can't just put one on the table. Your answer will always be a yes or a no, and you'll knock yourself right out of the sales park. Okay? Now, objections. You know those typical objections when you come to the place where people say things like, well, I don't have money, or I don't have the time, or, you know, gosh, this all sounds great, but okay, learn this phrase, and this phrase is powerful for you. It is a six-word phrase. It just says, that's why I'm calling. That's why I'm calling. You know, I really don't have a lot of time. That's why I'm calling. My schedule is so packed, I have very little time. That's why I'm calling. If you say, that's why I'm calling, that answer will overcome everything, and your voice inflections just has to be empathetic. Now, the other day I had somebody say to me, you know, this all sounds really good, but I can't afford that. And I actually had seen three other people listening to that, and I said, you know, as a professional, I truly do not mince words when somebody needs to hear something. Do I have your permission to tell you what I'm feeling right now? And they said, yeah. How long is that going to be your excuse? You see, your excuse really should be, wow, that sounds great, but it's really not for me. And that's your choice. Not that you can't afford something, but it's not your choice. You should decide if you want it or don't want it, not that you can't have it because you can't afford it. How long are you going to stay in that mentality and keep saying that is going to be the excuse? When are you going to step out of the box and do something different? And sometimes you need to ask the person that where they go, you know what, good point. And then what I did is I made an appointment specifically with that person to say, if you want it bad enough, I can show you how to get it. Is there any reason why we couldn't have a private 15 to 20 minute appointment and find a way, a couple different avenues that I believe I can help you to get what you truly want? Now, another great way to close and another good objection close is this. You know what? I love to do those scale from 1 to 10, but a lot of people don't know how to do it. 1 is I'm not interested, and 10 is I'm so excited I'm off the charts, okay? So let me ask it to you like this. If you like what you saw, where would you see yourself if money were not an object on getting started today? Now, 1 means, not for me. And that's okay. And 10 is, I'm ready to sign up right now. And you know what? 5 doesn't count. So where would you rate yourself? Now, the reason you're asking this question is this is how you know whether you've done a good job in your business or you've done a job that needs a little bit more work. And this is how you learn who do you go to next? Where can you take the next prospect? What can you do? So when a person says to me, well, you know what, I'd get started right now, I'm probably a 9. Well, if they're a 9, they're not really going to get started right now. So something is in the way that they did not give me the number 10. So here you go. You, the professional, finds the skill again and comes in, and it's with questions. Well, you know what, let me ask you. My job is to get you from a 9 to a 10. And since you're not a 10, why are you not a 10 today? What's in the way of that 9 and 10? What do I have to address? What do we have to overcome? And a lot of people right then will say, well, it's the money. That's what they'll say. And even though I said, if money were no object. So money is really not the object. That's what they think. So I say, listen again. If money were no object, then where would you rate yourself? And I do the same thing again. 1 means, it's not for me, and that's okay. And 10 is, I'm ready to sign up right now today. So what would your number be? And 5 doesn't count. And they laugh and we giggle and they say, well, I'd be a 10. I say, great. Now my job is to get you from the 9 to the 10. So let's come up with some alternative ways of how we can get you started where money is not your problem. And then I work with them personally. See, so sales is something you do for people, not to them. And if you're serious that you care about people, we have to listen to what they're saying. We have to listen to what they're telling us. We have to listen to what they want, and it's about them. Now, let me share with you really quick a QDC moment also on the power of using everything I taught you today, how it would work with just a little story. What happens is one day, a lady walks into a scarf store. She saw some scarves on the mannequin, and she thought, oh, my gosh, these are really great. She worked in sales and thought, well, this would be really good for some of my sales force, too. So she walks into the sales clerk, and the sales clerk says, can I help you? And she addresses and says, yes, do you have those scarves in blue? She says, hold on, I'll go back and check. She walks all the way back, down to the back of the store, back inside the back of the warehouse, checks and sees they have them in blue, comes back and she said, you know, yes, we have them in blue. And then she says, do you have them in red? And she said, hold on, let me go back and look. And so she goes down, she goes back, she goes down, she comes around, does the same thing again, taking another 5 minutes to do this process. And she said, yes, we have them red. And she said, and do you also have any green? Do you have them in green? So the lady goes back and she looks, let me share with you what a QDC moment is. Let me show you the difference between a person who knows their business. Instead of wasting time, you're going for the sale. So the lady comes in, and here's the second scenario. She says, wow, I love the scarves in the window. Yes, I was wanting to know, do you have those in blue? She said, well, can I ask what you're looking for? Is it for you or for somebody else? And she said, well, I'm thinking I have a sales group and this and that, and I was thinking of giving different people. Well, what other colors would you be interested in if we have them? She says, well, I'd like to know if you have, well, maybe red and then blue and green. And she says, okay. She says, well, let me go find out if I have those. But before I do, if I have the blue, the red, and the green, how many of each one of those are you interested in? And then she tells her, I'd like 5 of the blue, and I'd like 4 of the red, and I'd like 3 in green. Great. So let me ask real quick, if I go back and I have those scarves, would you like me to bring them up? Because those are the scarves that you're, is there any reason why? You can use it in that phrase if you want, but are those the scarves you'd like to go home with today? Now, doing it that way, of course, the lady's going to get a yes or no answer, okay? But the scarves total this much, and by the way, you could do something like this. By the way, I can give you a discounted price for getting, and you can add a couple extra scarves in there if you're a great salesperson and say, by doing this and buying these scarves today, I can actually give you 2 free scarves. Is there any reason why you wouldn't want to get all of those scarves if we have everything that you're looking for when I come back from the back room? So the lady says, no, and you say, great, hang on, I'll be right back. So in the time now, instead of 5 minutes and 5 minutes and 5 minutes, this woman has now gone back and in that 5 or 7 minutes made a beautiful sale, been able to gift somebody something nice and make that sale of that value, and that woman walks away feeling that she had somebody who cared enough to really find her needs. The woman did a great job in getting permission to go get the order and sell her exactly what she needed and gave her something on top of it for making her decision. That is a good salesperson. That's what our job is, so that when that person leaves, you don't have to say, wow, she got a good deal. That's a horrible word, okay? But to say, wow, she walked away feeling like she's got great value, that she was treated right, felt good. And if she had said, you know, I'm really not interested in that many scarves after all, the lady's personality should have never changed. Your attitude, let me stress this, please, should never change. When dealing with a prospect, when they change their mind or come down in from the big pack and you think, whoa, I just made this much commission, and they jump down to a smaller pack, don't change your personality if they change their mind or after the time you've invested. But if you do your job right, like I've taught you today, if you ask the right questions and phrasing your sentences and clarifying with your prospect and do your QDC moment properly, I'm going to tell you that the power of by the time you finish your choices and handle objections, you're going to be able to make those sales, and you'll have less people that will put you off because you'll already know what you want. I want to know, Ken, if we get together for an appointment, can you make this decision today, or is there a decision maker that has to come with you? Are you the sole decision maker, or do you need to have your spouse with you? Find out. Be a great salesperson, and don't waste your time to do a presentation and then another presentation. Don't do that. Make your time count. Make them respect what you do. Make them see you are a professional at this, and then by doing it right, do it right or do it wrong. Either way, it duplicates, so why not learn it right? Have fun in teaching others how to do it and get better and better as you do it. Then you're going to have something to talk about. So I hope this has helped you in learning how to kind of shift a little your sales process, how to realize, wow, there is some foundational pieces I need to lay down. There are some things that are crucial and important. So real quick, find out something that's important to you and them. Look for these 5 things. Is what you're doing the right thing? Is what they want the right thing for them? Is what you're doing wrong, or is what they want wrong for them? Learn, is it incomplete? So if what you're doing is really incomplete, is it wasting your time? if they don't want what you have, it's incomplete, right? Remember, timing, opportunity, and money have to come together, but your time is valuable. So number four, a lot of people, if you're not careful, they waste your time. And number five, some people have hidden agendas. Find out what those things are, and you'll see all of that in what I shared with you in the example of that salesperson who sold scarves. You'll see that just by what I'm saying. Do the right thing. Make sure you're doing the right thing for the right people. Make sure that if what you're doing is wrong or what they want is wrong for them, then learn how to identify that and say, you know, you are so awesome and you deserve really well. This just may not work for you. Tell them that and let them know up front and tell them, but if you want to try and you want to give this a shot, you really have to be coachable so I can work with you so we can get you the success you're looking for. So you want to find those things out. So what is your prospect's motivation? And then also I ask you to internalize yourself too. Remember, you're always looking for three things from people. They're looking this for this from you as well. You want a yes, a no, or something else. That's what you're looking for, a yes or no or something else. And the more you get to those qualifying steps, the more you do those things, you're going to get quicker to your QDC moment, and it's a lot of fun. So listen when you're out and about. Watch how other people do their sales. Watch the waitress. Watch the people in the drive-thru when you go to those places. Watch when you go to a clothing store. Watch those QDC moments and watch how they occur. Because you know what? I have stimulated today, hopefully, your reticular activator. It's active, and now you're going to become aware of what I have shared. And you're going to go, oh, that was a beautiful sales moment. You can start to watch it. Or you can think of ways, wow, that woman could have done this a little bit better after what I've learned. So you're going to start learning because you watch other people and you observe. So people become also some of your greatest teachers, just what's out there and going on around you. Not that you have to educate them, but they become a teacher, and you educate yourself with the knowledge you have. So help yourself by watching others as well.